Anybody remember what we studied yesterday?
Getting ready for Pesach.
I'm going to think about last night and come up zero.
I knew someone was going to say that. Except I didn't expect it from Kevin. I wouldn't ever expect anything like that from him.
You just want tacos.
Huh?
You just want tacos.
That's true.
It's real funny, as I thought about that. Spiritually, I can understand it, but I can't even begin to put words to the understanding of it, because there are no words that can explain it spiritually. Intellectually and all that, it doesn't make sense, because all I've ever known is that concept. But I can understand how.
What concept is that, Gary?
The concept of zero is, it's always been in the fallen man's mind, because by definition he always saw perceived need. But it wasn't codified in terms of until about 1000 AD in both India and in Arabia. But it's what permitted what we perceive as technology and advancement. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. We'll spend a minute on this or two. It never existed until 1000 AD.
I mean, like the building pyramids and stuff back in those days, you got a baseline where you start something.
But it wasn't, it was based on a totally different system of thought than we have. And we can't even think about what that system of thought was. But let's look at this. In verse 20. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now, the power of God, obviously in the entire universe is manifest the power of God. But the power of God individually within you, and we're within a group of His people, is, it has to be manifest at the cost of everything else. In other words, we don't want to be those that Paul warned us of those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The power of God with regard to our life is manifested only in the seed, only in the sperma of God, only in Christ in us. Any attempt to do anything else is of the, instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And so we must live so that we manifest only the power of God and not the power of our thought processes, or the power of groupthink, or the power of anything else. So this is what he's saying. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now the understanding of the prudent, remember, its prudence is 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's prudence. That has nothing to do with our life. Can you comprehend that? everything about us must be manifested as the vessel which contains, not the vessel doing anything. We are no longer concerned with doing. We are only concerned with, we're not concerned with activity, we're only concerned with receptivity. And that receptivity is dependent on the depth to which we can empty.
And that's all we can do.
Emptiness is the mind of Christ. So, again, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross cannot have any other component to it. It's not preaching about the cross 2,000 years ago. It's the preaching of the cross today. And the preaching of the cross today requires that it be the death of the speaker and the listener. And so there is no... And that's what it means. I'll bring to... For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Prudence is 1 plus 1 equals 2. He brings to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He brings to nothing the idea of zero. A little bit. It's radical beyond it's radical beyond any form of thought that you can conceive of. It requires nothing of you except if you try to learn one principle of Christianity or one principle of life, then by definition, if you know how to, then dependence is gone. Dependence, 100% dependence on God, even for your next breath, is the meaning of obedience. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, not you doing anything. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, stupidity, ridiculous. That's why it is stupid, ridiculous to your mind. Because your mind isn't savable. Your mind is the curse. It is the fruit of the curse. It cannot be redeemed. It's carnal. It cannot be subject to the law of God. It doesn't want to be subject to the law of God. All your mind wants to do is be in control.
You can't buddy up to this scripture either in your mind. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. That's good. That's me.
The only way you will buddy up to it is when you know the futility of everything else. If you still think that you have some strength, some ability, then you can't hear what I'm talking about. This is why this message is the most simple of everything there is. It's not dependent on your intelligence. It's not dependent on your education. It's not dependent on anything, save you're looking around and say, this sucks. This is why we named Beavis and Butthead as theologians of the decade, because that was their phrase, this sucks. As long as you think you can do anything, as long as you think you can understand anything, as long as you think you can learn how to do anything, first of all, you'll be deceived because you're using this concept of zero, and so you're building on an illusion. Remember? The way in which the evil one has deceived the entire world is by the belief that you need something and the belief that you have time. And I promise you, I don't care how you were raised, I don't care where you came from, I don't care what language you speak, I don't care what educational background you have, you are deceived. Everything you have ever learned is wrong. From God's perspective. And everything you ever have ever known is rubbish. Oh, I know Jesus. That's my personal Savior. No, you don't. The Scriptures are clear. It says, no man knoweth the Son. Oh, but that everybody says that. Will you accept? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I love it when those idiots ask me that. I say no. And I'll show them the Scripture that says I can't know Him. And no man knows the Father but the Son, to whom the Son only knows the Father. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. All right. Remember, we're talking about the concept of zero, which was only invented AD 1000.
Something to me that ties in here is how the mind cannot function without time.
That's why I've said. That's why I've said so often, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is no thought that can stand against it is finished. Requires you to do something. And once you want to do, that means you have an obligation. Once there's an obligation, then there can't be love. He who is still working it, who's still trying to do something, you're still trying, working, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And no matter how you try, no matter how much you learn, the end result will be you will have a further feeling of obligation instead of freedom. So the Son hasn't made you free. The Son has put you more in debt. Because it's just a bunch more stuff that you can't do. Anybody understand me? Now this is only good news to those who have failed. If you still want to make it in this life, then you better leave the room right now. If you still just want to have a normal life, goodbye. What? You look like you've been hit with a brick again. You're not going to say a word. Don't bring any attention my way. If I'm real quiet and I don't move at all, then he won't notice me. For the preaching of the cross, that's impossible. For the preaching of the cross, once you act, by definition, you don't understand. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, absolute idiocy. It's a common thing for 30-some years that people have told me, only if I did what you said, I'd just go sit in a corner. Well, yeah, because you don't believe in the power of God. You believe you've got to help them. What? But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And it's talking about all wisdom, even so-called secret wisdom. We're going to go read the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Well, you find some secret crap. I've read it. Oh, I'm going to go study yoga. Well, I've done it. It's crap. I'm going to go be in... enter an ashram and study under this Baba Ras Dam bullshit. Whatever that guy's name. I'm going to break sand. I'd come out of my hand. That's valuable. Just eating more and more dirt as the snake is cursed to do.
I always like the perfume.
What?
I always like that perfume.
Oh, yeah, that's great, too. Have you ever been to India? It's the most disgusting place there is. Because it's only for the creme de la creme that are ever entered into the ashrams. They sit on the road, hundreds of the best, waiting for the yoga or the yogi to point at them. And while millions and millions of people are starving to death and they're worshiping cows. Oh, you can't make fun of other religions. Oh, yes, I can. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And I promise you, it is foolish. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And what is preaching? If anyone preaches something or tells you something that you can do, it's not preaching. It's meddling in God's business. Oh, let's all sit down and I'll show you how you can have a happy family. No, you won't. You'll just show people how to act like they have a happy family. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. He's the power, he personally, he's the peace of God, he's the power of God, he's the wisdom of God, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He's never going to give you any of those things because he is. And until you know that, you'll never understand the cross. You'll just keep trying to get better. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Boy, this is really apropos for us. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, not after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world. Base, we don't even have a word for what that Greek word means, and it's like it's the refuge, the offscouring, the garbage. God has chosen the garbage of the world. And the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. And that's why a believer cannot have the concept of zero. Because we use the zero, we use the nothing, we use the apparent weakness, we use all of that pile of nothingness to show forth the power of God instead of trying to do some little temporary little tricks with our mind to try to create some false edifice.
So in the economy of God, there's no such thing as nothing.
Right. Nothing is the basis by which he reveals himself. That's why you can't stand true humility, because true humility is total emptiness. And remember, the wisest man in the universe, Solomon, said he has seen the travail that God has given the sons of men to be exercised in it. Exercise means emptied.
We have to say Ecclesiastes.
We are. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, made unto us righteousness, made unto us sanctification, made unto us redemption, made unto us love, made unto us peace, made unto us truth, made unto us light, made unto us anything that you can conceive of that you think you desire. That's why he will give us the desires of our heart, but not the ideas of our mind. And I promise you, they are in opposition to each other. The moment you try to use that which is cursed, namely this thing, to gain that which is blessed, you will enter into a conundrum in which you can't get out of, and you'll be forced into being an actor. One more script. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I'm trying to cause you to understand why a believer can't have the concept of zero.
Is it the concept of zero, or is it zero related to something? In other words, I have zero new cars, therefore there's a placeholder for this need I have. My mind can now...
I'm not even going to talk to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, we never stop abiding. And fainting, fainting means that we've quit relying on God and we've returned to this idiot here to try to figure it out, whatever the need is. And I don't care if you're chairman of the board of Enron Corporation. No, that wasn't a good example.
Pick another one.
I don't care if you're chairman of the board of Microsoft or you're a Levite getting $55 a week. That never changes. And very well, you may end up being chairman of the board of Microsoft. It doesn't matter. It's meaningless. But... For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is not a new you. The inward man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He alone is renewed day by day, but only as you perish. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and he calls his light affliction being... three times he was beaten... With 40 stripes, save one, he was in prison, he was thrown into the depths of the sea, he hungered, he thirsted. That's his light affliction. So tell me about yours. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, poor you. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? Because we never, never, never lean on our own arm of understanding. We never go anywhere other than to the Father for whatever our resource is, whatever is there. And here's the kicker. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen eternal. As long as you retain the concept of zero, you're looking at the things that are seen. And as long as you believe you have time to do something, then you haven't perceived the gift of God, which is eternal life. A life without regard to time. The only reason the zero was invented was to be able to manipulate within a limited parameter. You couldn't have algebra, you couldn't have a lot of cosmology, you couldn't have a lot of things without zero. You couldn't, and especially you couldn't have any of those things without negative numbers. Well, if there's no such thing as a zero, there's, I promise you, no such thing as a negative number. And so there goes half of all science. And plus, all of science has one common denominator. They must believe in the linearity and the constancy of the speed of time. And for us, that's stupid. Because we know that when the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more. So time cannot be universal and linear. So the two things that the evil one has deceived the entire world are the idea of need, or zero, and the idea that you have time. And all the world is wandering after the beast. Which beast? Not the one, not Satan. This beast. And everyone who's living on the world will be seduced by the beast. As long as your life is here, instead of seated with him on the mercy seat, you're going to be seduced. And you will value the things that the world values. Can you understand why the concept of zero is kind of important? Mr. Bojo? I remember the first time I talked about this was like 84 or 5, and everybody ran out of the room with a headache. Especially Harry. This was secret banana stuff. Anybody have any response, thoughts, additions? What? The goofy thing. You're looking at me goofily. Oh, yeah.
Something how our entire thought structure and foundation is based on
need and time.
Yeah. And now there's no possibility of rearranging it.
That's why you have to die.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have a choice here.
Well, but that's why. It says you owe your thoughts and emotions nothing. So they lose their strength, because then you stop breathing life into this instead of Christ, the Antichrist, which is you, by the way. You forget that? Your number is...
I was wondering when we started, what's the point of finding out there's no zero? It's interesting, but...
Because it's the basis upon which you are still deceived.
Yeah, that's where we stand
for. All the world is wandering after the beast. I don't want you to wander after the beast.
Yeah, and no matter how much time this thing thinks there is left, it still couldn't correct the fault.
That thing will think that forever is left. That's why this thing's only way of thinking about eternity is a long, long time.
Yeah.
But the scriptures are clear. Eternity is no time at all. So as long as you have time in your thought processes, oh, when am I going? I promise you, that's why I say so often, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Buddy, a little bit. All right, I'm tired of talking. Anybody have any? You guys got any?
I do. Zero is very much a way of, it's like pushing God away and saying, this is a place where God isn't. And time is the same thing. It's like making a bubble inside really God.
This is what
God isn't.
This is what we're studying, remember? It's a place where you say you were going to take God out of your sight. That's the scripture we're studying. That's what all this relates to in Ecclesiastes.
This is really how you give place to the devil. This is where the devil exists, is within zero and within
time. That's why we would... Watch this. That's why we spent the last 2 days talking about this.
So the really terrible thing from my mind's standpoint is to have either one of those things become wobbly and collapse, because then...
Right. That's why, when we studied 2 Peter and all that, it talks about you walk after the course of this world. Because to walk after the course of this world means you walk with a defined objective, because you have time, rather than the walk of a believer, which is a constant emptying, because this is the last second.
So it's like saying God has gone off from his temple, or the vision is not for this time. The vision is for a time far off, even if it's a second off, it's far off. You didn't see us.
Is that now? Can I ask our guests if they have anything to say?
Sure, it's okay with me.
It's okay with you?
It's
all right with Bojo? I don't know where that came from. Who are you?
Patrick.
And I'm
Anthony.
Yeah, that's right. That's why you already have 3 strikes against you, because your name is Anthony. Patrick and Anthony. Patrick Booth and Ole Anthony. My God, what a pair. Any response? Anything you want to say anything?
I'm just trying to listen to your preaching of the cross. I mean, we too preach the cross, so I'm just trying to understand what you're, where you're going with this theory.
Dead.
Some ideas.
Dead. You can't get any ideas from dead.
I agree.
All righty. Take a big guy.